Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys will get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's honored. It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, game time!
Hey. Welcome, folks. Welcome to another Parents Coaching Parents Network. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And as always, I'm going to promise you another wonderful show. Hopefully... we'll have some information that we're going to share with you this evening that, as always, it'll be an eye-opener for you, or at least cause you to think a little bit and realize that the situation that you're in, you're not in that situation by yourself. We here at the Parents Coach the Parents Network are here to support you and assist you in any way possible. So, on that note, folks, you must understand, that's what it's all about. You know, I've had the experience of going through this recruiting process, dealing with the whole situation of my child in middle school, going on to high school, then from high school, getting involved in the AAU circuit a little bit. From there, moving on to play a prominent role in his college career and him having a great time and being considered a college standout. I actually was considered to be in the All-American conversation. Along with that, went on to be drafted. So now he's having his professional career. So I may have experienced some of the same things that you are currently going through. And if that's the case, if at any point in time I mentioned just one little thing, folks, that could be the turning point for your whole experience that you're dealing with. But I don't like to start the show without first going to my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith wrote this little piece for me. I believe Keith is currently playing in the D-League because I was watching some D-League games the other day, and I thought I heard them call his name, and I seen somebody run by the screen. If I'm not mistaken, I thought that may have been him. I have to touch bases with him and find out if that was him for sure. But I'd like to play this little piece here, and then we'll come back and we'll get started with some more great information. I got a treat for you, folks. I got a treat.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
Like I said, that's my young man by the name of Keith Wright. He said he's making smart cool. That's the piece that gets me each and every time, you know, when I hear this little clip that he put together for us here on the Parents Coach the Parents Network. He's making smart cool. He's letting you know it's okay to be smart and be cool all at the same time because he's out there balling, having a good time, having a great time, matter of fact. And not to mention, he's a graduate of the University of Harvard. Harvard. Yes, I did say that. Same university that our great president graduated from. But like I said, folks, I have a treat for you this evening. You know, oftentimes I share my points, my views, my insight on things that I have experienced here on the Parents Culture Parents Network. And from time to time, you know, we have some great guests that calls in and share their information. Well, like I said, I have another parent here that has had a very successful time and a very positive time period in the recruiting system as well. And I'm not going to go on and try to tell you a whole long, drawn-out story. I'm going to just bring that parent on and let her share with you her insight, her knowledge, her skills, her wisdom, you know, everything that she had to deal with, you know, throughout the family with her and her son going on to play ball as well. Without further ado, I'm going to check and see if our guest is on the line with us. Are you on with us?
I am. Yep.
Yes,
I
ma'am.
Am.
If you would, please introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. My name is Real, R-E-A-L, Real Thornton. And my son is Tyler Thornton, who graduated in spring of 2014 from Duke University, where he played under Coach K for 4 years. We're from the Washington metropolitan area, living in Northern Virginia, and this is the area where he honed his basketball skills and knowledge, and that we were in a great position to meet such wonderful people, not only locally, but outside of our area, such as Michael himself. I remember the first time that we met at the NBA Top 100 camp, being a parent in that program while my son was participating with other student-athletes during the camp. And so we feel extremely, extremely blessed about our experience and his path, his experiences that led him to his path. He is currently a graduate manager under Stephen Wojciechowski at Marquette University. So he went on to a graduation following what he's been wanting to do since he was 8 or 9 years old and never wavered, as far as we remembered, from what he ultimately wanted to do, and that's to be a college coach one day. He started out actually playing football, which was his first love, and he played that for 2 years prior to asking if he could join his fellow teammates in football, who sort of gradually moved over from playing youth football into basketball. And for us, it felt like it was a lot. He's an only child, and it felt like it was a lot to do, taking on one extracurricular activity and then moving into another. However, we agreed, and he did, and it ended up being a great experience. And so what we looked at as a family, and my husband and I communicating at that time, because he was 8, 9, and 10, about how he was very passionate about sports, a very strong competitor, and being an only child, that was sort of his sense of community, of brotherhood with others. And for us, it was more of, because he loved it so much, we looked at what we needed to do to keep him motivated. And the biggest piece for us in our foundation, and the biggest piece for us had always been academics. And in order for Tyler to play sports and continue having that fun and having that success, he needed to accomplish what was important in the household, and that was performing well in the classroom. And, you know, we put out there to him that C's were very mediocre, and in order for him to continue on the path and playing the sports, that he needed to focus on B's or better. And he did. And, I mean, there were times where we struggled in there a little bit to continue to motivate him, because school was something that he enjoyed. Classwork was something that came easy to him. And so we worked really hard to challenge him in both. And he went from a very nice public high school, or I'm sorry, elementary school here in Reston, which is where he grew up. In fact, if he'd gone on to the public high school, he would have attended South Lakes High School, which is the same high school that Grant Hill, who attended Duke University and played in the NBA, attended. And so we went from public school here in elementary school here in Reston to a very, very nice, had an opportunity to send him to a very, very nice private school in McLean, Virginia, which is really not too far from our house, called the Potomac School. The Potomac School is on the same track in the same conference as Flint Hill, Sidwell Friends, which is a school that the Obama, Michael, you mentioned that, Obama's kids go to Sidwell Friends, sort of in the same track. Academically, it met everything that we wanted as parents. Athletically, it wasn't the best. However, it gave him an opportunity to do some things, in particular in basketball, that he hadn't done yet. So Tyler started out as a 4-5, playing AAU, grew really fast, very early, and was had a little bit of weight on him and played the 4 and the 5. And moving into middle school and then being put in a situation where they were just happy if they had folks that had kids who could walk and chew gum at the same time, which is not a bad thing because we learned so much more from the community which we wanted him to receive and still keep the academic standards, that it just didn't matter to us that the athletics weren't as strong. And he had AAU, and he had a really great team at the time. So, but being in that environment and being one who was very knowledgeable and skillful at basketball, it afforded him the opportunity to gradually move away from the basket as a 4 or 5, because, you know, we're pretty tall, his parents, as his parents, but we weren't that tall. And we didn't have, you know, extremely tall people in our family on either side. And so my husband had always stated that his natural position would be a point guard. And so being in that environment afforded him the opportunity to work on and learn how to grow into the point guard position. At the same time, playing sports there, 7th and 8th grade, 2 years at the Potomac School, he played in a very competitive travel league team in Fairfax County, where we live. So the work that he had done in his middle school afforded him the opportunity to, when the coach needed him to play the point guard or the shooting guard position, he was able to then take that and use what he was learning and doing in the middle school, not such a competitive environment or conference, but apply that to the environment that he was in, and it worked. He seemed pretty natural at it, but because he had played the 4 and the 5, it also afforded him the opportunity as a point guard to have a better understanding of where people needed to be on the court. And he really became a facilitator. He really became a coach on the court. And one of the things that my husband had really taught him was to use his voice. And he was very rare that you found a kid at his age and, you know, in this era where they communicated, taught, and told people where to be and what to do and what to look out for on the court. And those became, those little rare things became really tangible things that as he moved on in AAU, two things. He got to a point in middle school where he felt like he really wanted to be with a more competitive program going into high school, and asked us to look at other schools. And for us, it was keeping the academic piece again. And so we did our research. I'm from here. However, I didn't play sports growing up, and I wasn't really connected to the basketball community in the District of Columbia, Maryland area. And so I had to rely on some folks that I knew, and my husband's from Norfolk, Virginia. And so he knew nothing about what competitive programs, schools, public or private, were really open to him for Tyler. And so putting, sort of spreading out there in a network, speaking to our AAU network. Tyler played at the age of 13. He played for 1 year with Todd Bozeman, who had coached his son and his team that he put together, and that team gradually moved over when Todd was eligible to go back to coaching in college. That team moved over to what was then the DC Assault program. At that time, the senior or upperclassmen in that program were Beasley and Nolan Smith, who graduated Duke, and Austin Austin Freeman, who went to Georgetown. Several McDonald All-Americans that came out of that program. And so our group was more of the junior group going into 14. And so we asked those folks, you know, where should we look? And lo and behold, we understood that the WCAC, which is the Washington Catholic Athletic Conference, was the best conference with the best reputation for sports, in particular football and basketball. It had such programs as DeMatha Catholic and Good Counsel and Gonzaga College High School. And the other piece that Tyler asked was to have an opportunity to go to an all-boys school, no distractions, which is pretty mature for any kid, but definitely wasn't anything that we expected him to say, given that he was an only child and had been a now at that time in a small co-ed environment. And so we ended up choosing Gonzaga College High School for high school, and he, at that point in time, was 2 years into or going on his second year into DC Assault for AAU. And so now we're exposed to the on the AAU circuit, the exposure tournaments, and such players as Brandon Knight and Kyrie Irving and the list goes on. Victor Oladipo, and Victor Oladipo, who's with Orlando Magic, was Victor Oladipo, who had tried out for DC Assault, didn't make that team, but went to Team Takeover, which was Nike-sponsored, and also played at DeMatha High School. And the community of people and players go on. And so we ended up finding ourselves in really blessed situations and opportunities for him to continue to grow. And when we realized how competitive the high school program now was, and the AAU program, our question to him was, basketball, football, where did he want to take himself, what did he want to do? And the caveat, I should say, go back and say that Tyler really wanted to play both sports, dual sports, all the way through. And in late in his eighth grade year playing football, he broke his ankle, and it took him out for about 8 months. He had surgery, he had pins put into his ankle, he had rehab to do, and by the time he was cleared to play and fully cleared, fully healed to play, AAU was just starting. And that was his first season with DC Assault. And the doctor said that he was clear to play basketball. That was perfectly fine. However, he wanted him to be 1 year removed from a contact sport. That meant his freshman year in high school, he would not be able to play football. Having said that, the question again came up of sort of, what do you want to do and where do you want to go? And one of the things that he wanted to do and his goal was, I want my AAU team, I'm going to help my AAU team win. Again, we were Adidas sponsored. So the big tournament we played in, our kids played in, was in Las Vegas. It was the Adidas Super 64. And he wanted his AAU team and help them win as many tournaments, exposure tournaments, and play well. They were a team that no one really banked on, and even though they were with the Assault organization, the organization still didn't quite believe in them because they just didn't have the having in the Nolan Smith, the Mike Beasleys, and Austin Freeman, and the list goes on in the world. And so they sort of felt like no one believed in them, and that made them work harder. They were a great group of guys who, for all intents and purposes, all went to some sort of private school in the area. Very smart kids, great families, and they just worked hard. We had a great AAU coach Zach Suber, and had no kids, was not coaching a team where he had a kid or a son or a stepson on it at all, just totally wanted to help these guys be successful, and more importantly, help them find a way to get college paid for. And so we all went in, as they say, all feet sort of all went in wet, behind the ears, not really knowing where we would go, but supporting our sons and supporting the path they wanted to take. And their sort of inaugural season out as high school AAU, they did extremely well. They won just about every exposure tournament they had gone into, except for, I think at the time, King James tournament in Akron was very new. But more importantly, they'd won the Adidas Super 64 in Vegas, 10 and under. And that was huge because the DC Assault organization had not won that tournament, our team had not won that tournament in many, many years. And that sort of put them out on the map. They played teams like All Ohio Red, which Jarrett Sellinger, who went to Ohio State, now plays with Boston Celtics, was part of that team. With many, many others, and they were being talked about, and they were already ranked, and we played against teams, our boys played against, my son played against teams like that, and won. And all of a sudden, you have coaches, colleges are hearing that colleges or coaches or programs are interested in them. And we go off to high school, and at that point, his goal is, you know, it was great playing JV basketball for the summer for my high school team. However, I really want to play varsity. I got an opportunity, he stated, I got an opportunity to play in summer league after the JV summer league was over, to play up on varsity and to play against the Chris Wrights of the world. Chris Wright went to St. John's and subsequently went on to Georgetown. Austin Freeman and Jeray Grant, who is the oldest of Harvey Grant's sons, who played at Clemson, now plays overseas. And they were rising seniors in the program. Incoming freshmen who had already made varsity for their teams and played summer league were Kendall Marshall, who played at O'Connell, Bishop O'Connell High School, who went on to UNC, was drafted by the Phoenix Suns and now with the Milwaukee Bucks. And Kendall and Tyler actually were in eighth grade together and very close friends. Subsequently, they went on to play against rival colleges, but just the small community of basketball, and you talk about that talent level. And for him, it was, I want to play against that level. It pushes me, remind you all that he was a competitor. He was a competitor in the classroom. He was a competitor outside of the classroom. It was who could race to the trash can the fastest, and that's just in his nature, and a winner, and one who wanted to win. And he went on into high school and really wanted to make that varsity team. And his high school was one that really felt that you climb your way to varsity. We just don't put freshmen in varsity. If you're good enough, you can play JV, but to play varsity, that's unheard of. That's not what we do here. He went out and he got an opportunity and an invite to play, to try out for varsity, and he actually made the team, which very proud moment because that spoke to his hard work. There were mornings early season, 4 days a week where he had to be at practice at 6:30 in the morning. We live in Reston, Virginia, and his school is in Washington, D.C., near Union Station. And I worked in D.C., and I probably worked a good 15 minutes if I drove from him, but the best way for me to get to work and, you know, sort of path of least resistance without having to deal with starting my workday out in a bad note was to take public transportation. So I took a bus to a train and went into work, and the train was very close to my office. It ended up being that his school was very close to the subway. And I said, you know, this is how I get to work. I just think it builds character. If it's the same way you get to school, you're going to go a little bit further than I am. But there are a lot of kids, there are a lot of guys traveling the metro, a lot of guys, a lot of girls traveling the metro every day, and you'll be fine. It builds character. And he did. And that meant a 6:30 practice, then I had to have him on a bus at 5:30 in the morning, and he did that for 4 years. He did that for four
wow.
years. Even in the winter, he did the same thing. And he made varsity, and it was all you have to do is figure out how you're going to get the playing time. And was probably the third game into their season, preseason, and one of the schools that they played was Georgetown Prep. Georgetown Prep, most everyone considered was a feeder school into Georgetown University. It really wasn't. Gonzaga College High School, which is where he attended, really was. Georgetown Prep is where many players came out of Georgetown Prep. Michael, my brain is going blank here, but he plays for Indiana Pacers, big guy, their center. Went to Georgetown Prep and then to Georgetown. But nonetheless, he, 3 games in preseason, one of the freshmen from the area that had made varsity and everyone was really excited to see play was Markel Starks. Markel Starks went on to play at point guard at Georgetown. He played behind Chris Wright and then subsequently took over at Georgetown. And so it was supposed to be a big matchup. Everyone wanted to see Markel Starks, and Markel Starks had once played AAU with Kendall Marshall, and so it was the rival between all-boys school, private school, and it was Gonzaga College High School versus Georgetown Prep. It was sold out, and it sounds really funny now, but it was the first time that my husband and I even realized that there was such thing that seeing college coaches in a gym for a high school game. We just didn't think about that. We understood they were there for AAU, but it just didn't register to us about high school. And one of the programs and one of the coaches that was there was the assistant coach at the time at UVA, Bill Courtney. Bill Courtney and was actually very good friends with Tyler's AAU coach. And Tyler was sort of, you know, we didn't know where he was actually on the scale of the team. We didn't know if he was sixth man. We just didn't know. We just knew that you made varsity. Now you got to figure out how you're going to get in the game. And he had a senior point guard playing ahead of him, who, great kid, great family, but he, at some point between his junior year and his senior year, really chose another sport as his primary, and so basketball he just sort of did. He's been doing it. I've played here for 3 years. I might as well finish out my senior year playing. It was a dogfight, sort of back and forth, and the coach, I guess we could say took a gamble, but said, you know, might as well throw him in there and see what happens. And he put Tyler in the game, and the first play of the game, Prep had the ball, and Marquette was the guard coming up the court, and Tyler easily went up under his arm and picked the ball and got a layup, and he did that 2 more times. And I remember his high school coach, or I'm sorry, his AAU coach, Tyler's AAU coach, sitting across from us and calling me on my cell phone. And you go, why do people call you when you're in a gym on a cell phone? You can't hear anything. You can't talk. But he called and said, I'm sitting with assistant coach from UVA, Bill Courtney. I'm like, okay. And he goes, and he wants to meet you guys. Can't meet you guys here, but he's really interested in Tyler. And that then sort of opened doors. And Tyler hearing that was like, wow, for him. And the next game after that was against DeMatha. And John Thompson, the third, came to that game. And again, you know, Austin Freeman is heading off to Georgetown. So he clearly is, you know, guys that he that have committed to his program, the future of his program. And, however, John Thompson III is also an alum of Gonzaga College High School. And we lost that game at home by 1 point at the buzzer. But Tyler had a really, really good game. And Coach Thompson, again, graduate of the school, was also very best friends with one of the assistant coaches and told him that he wanted to speak to us about Tyler. And so it was just really weird to be thinking 15, ninth grade, you know, small. In fact, I pulled up a picture of the day and thought, gee, he was very small at that time. And hearing that college coaches had some sort of interest or intrigue by him. And things sort of took off from there. He worked hard knowing that schools were interested in him. And so at that point, we had the conversation again. What's your ultimate goal here? Are you going to go back to football? And he says, you know, I think I'm going to stick with basketball. I'll always love football. It'll always be my first love. But I really like this competitive nature of basketball. I really want to be there with my AAU team. I really want to win as much as I can. And we said, and then what? And he says, I like an opportunity. I want to work where I can get an opportunity to play at the highest level. And our question to him is, so what is your goal? When you say the highest level, what does that look like? When we're talking about programs, what does it look like? He says, well, I guess I want to work hard enough until I can get an offer from Duke or UNC. He loved the offer from Georgetown. He liked everything about Georgetown. And Michael Roy Hibbert at the time, I think, was a junior or a senior at Georgetown. And he'd gone over for, by that time, springtime, after see a couple open gyms, and he liked it. However, he said, you know, I want to work until I can pique their interest, those programs. And we said, okay. And so moving forward, AAU teams did extremely well. They lost very few games. They won against a lot of teams, a lot of great teams, competition programs, whether they be Adidas or Nike. But at the time, Adidas had wonderful programs with New Jersey players, New England players, and the list went on, and on the West Coast as well. And I think we got into the sophomore year, the fall of his sophomore year, and his high school coach called and preseason and stated that he had gotten a phone call from Johnny Dawkins at Duke University. And we were excited about Duke only because the biggest thing was because no one was there. No one was a mentor then and still is to this day to the younger guys, and really struck a chord with Tyler and his teammates. And so we were all in for, you know, watching Nolan play as a freshman in Duke because of that. And of course our question was, well, why is he calling? And he said, well, he'd heard that there was a kid here who was a point guard who was a winner. And, you know, they're always interested in winners, and he just wanted to get a feel for who the kid was and who the family is. And if we got an opportunity to come down there, let him know, give him a call, let him know he liked to meet us. And we most certainly were going down because we wanted to see Nolan play. We had no clue, though, you know, really. There's no such thing as walking up and buying tickets to get into a Duke men's basketball game. We didn't know that at all. So totally green, just going along with it. And then we got a call that Johnny wanted us to call him, and probably a few weeks later. And we called him, and he says, hey, if you guys are ever thinking about coming down in the area, you know, let us know, and we'd love for you guys to come to a game. And we actually were going down because Tyler had also received interest from another university in that area, which was NC State. And at the time, Pete Strickland went to DeBatha and graduated. He was one of the assistant coaches there that was from the area. And I said, well, we're heading down to see NC State at some point. And he asked what day, and I said the day. And he says, we're having our countdown to the craziness that evening. Love for you to come over. And we knew nothing about countdown to craziness because we never looked at Duke prior to no one going there. And so we did. And we did NC State earlier in the day, and they had their red and white opening, and then we went to Duke for that evening to watch Countdown to the Craziness. And it was fantastic, and Nolan performed well, and it was just amazing to us to see an environment like that, both NC State and Duke. I mean, honestly, we felt that the coaching staff and the players and the families we got to meet were all wonderful. And I remember Johnny walking us around, and we didn't realize that ESPN was there that day, and Johnny was walking us around and giving us a tour. And at that time, they were just starting to do their restructuring. So the new locker room and workout facility that most everyone has seen in some way, shape, or form, none of that existed when we went there. It was still the old scoreboard that lit up with light bulbs, Teletron, no pictures, no nothing. It was just a nice old school feel. More importantly for Tyler, and this is what stood out for him, It was a nice, close, enclosed gym, and it felt to him a lot like his high school gym. Large arenas, he didn't feel the crowd, didn't feel the intensity, but nice, tight quarters he enjoyed. And so we continued to look, and one of the things that Johnny said is we're going to be watching him, we're going to be looking at him. Duke at that time was a program that still felt, you know, you did the bulk of your communication and you made an offer junior and senior year. They weren't yet into the freshman sophomore things. And I think at that time, Kendall Marshall had picked up an offer from Roy Williams at UNC as a sophomore. And that was huge in our area because we had such a great class in the 2010 and such a strong point guard class. And for him to get that offer so early, it was just unheard of. But Duke was not one to be rushed. And we understood that, but we also had other places to look at. And for us, the big thing at that point, you know, it's one school, it was Georgetown, it was NC State, it was UVA, we'd gone to Virginia Tech, Seth Greenberg, and during the summer he came to every game. And it was geographically, where do you want to be? Do you want to be on the West Coast is what we asked him. He wasn't interested in the West Coast. Do you want to be in the Midwest or in the Northeastern corridor? Don't like cold weather, don't like snow, not interested. Moving forward, ironic that he's in Milwaukee now, where there's nothing but snow and cold weather. But I can speak to that later. So, well, where do you want to be? And he said, I like the East Coast. Okay, Big East. You know basketball. You know conferences. Big East. I like the East Coast. I love Georgetown. I think I really want to go to Georgetown because it's close to home, and I really like Coach Thompson and the staff. And at the time, Ron Burke was was the assistant coach recruiting Tyler, and he too was a Gonzaga graduate. And so it was becoming, there were certain things about the program and the staff there that was resonating with him as familiarity versus, is that really where you want to be? What kind of ball player are you looking at yourself being in college? But more importantly, what does life look like for you after college? And again, going back to that foundation of education and academics in the bigger picture. He mentioned Miami, and we said, well, if you're playing football, I guess that would be a great place for you to go, but I don't think so for basketball. Not quite interested in sending you to Miami. But Miami was interested in him, and when a graduate of Gonzaga College High School was an assistant coach under Frank Haith at Miami. So Miami was in the picture too. And it wasn't for us about the list and the names of schools and knowing that when that opportunity came after his sophomore year in high school that we, you know, could get a phone call from a college coach, and you had Bill Self, who just won the national championship the year before, calling. It really wasn't about that. It was really about the foundation that was built. Academics, you use sports, you're not letting the sports use you, and what does life look like when you're done, and what do you want to do? And he went back to, well, I want to be a coach. And ultimately, we got to a point, yes, his AAU team continued to be successful. They won the WCAC championship 1 year, the sophomore year at Gonzaga College High School, but he went for 3 straight years to the championship. What a blessing. And Alhambra and so forth and so on. But it was more of, now when we narrow this down, which we need to, it's about building relationships and getting to know the staff, the program, the school. And is this a university, whichever one you choose, that you can live with, even if the coach or whomever it is that recruited you is no longer there? Again, I think all thought-provoking, but things that players and parents really need to think about. Because every year there's a whole crop of new folks. And it sounds so weird to say this is 2015 and he graduated high school in 2010, so it really wasn't that long ago that he went through the recruiting process. However, a lot of things have changed about college recruiting in the basketball arena and the rules of engagement, things that were unheard of then they can do now. And the coach can actually talk to a player and his family and his AAU coach during an exposure tournament. That was unheard of when Tyler and even, you know, Michael, your son, coming up. That didn't happen. But we consistently say you have to have a plan and you have to know where you're going and what you want to do with that once you figure out where you're going. And so he said, well, I still ultimately want to coach. And we said, okay, if we look at this thing and you ultimately want to coach, and we're looking at now, down by that time, Johnny's gone to Stanford. So now he's now considering one West Coast school, and that's Stanford, and that's because of Johnny. So it was, when you look at the school, Villanova, Georgia, he liked the University of Georgia. I think he liked the coaching staff there more than anything, which was fine. But University of Georgia, Villanova, Stanford, Georgetown, Duke, and there were a couple others thrown in there. When we look at those programs, and we've spent many time with the coaching staff, and with the teams, who in that list has been successful in helping their players or former players get into the coaching arena, whether that be at the collegiate level, high school, collegiate, or professional? And there was only one person that came back, and that was Coach K. And
that's interesting that you put that out there. You know, because a lot of times I think we as parents forget about that part, forget about the part of, okay, the child is there, the child's going to play, the child's going to get his or her academic success. Now, what happens after college? Mm-hmm. You know, do the coaching staff just sever their ties with that child, or do the coaching staff maintain still some type of connection with the child and assist them into moving forward into bigger and better things? You know, if that child is not going to continue to play ball and try to go professional, can you, you know, look at assisting them in trying to pursue a coaching career or something like that? You know, that's part that I think we as parents forget about. Mm-hmm. And don't realize that that is also a part that the coaches can play in the lives of our children.
Absolutely. The basketball community is a very small community. The coaching community is a small community. They all know each other. They've all, you know, just now seeing it, watching my son sit on the bench at Marquette as they are playing Providence, and having one of those aha moments going, he's 22, and he's a graduate assistant. He's sitting on the bench there, you know, working on his craft, and in the game is the younger brother of a kid that he competed against, my son competed against, from the age of 9 all the way through college, who's now in the NBA with the Orlando Magic, and Tobias Harris, and he's actually helping his coaches coach his college team that he's with now against Tobias' little brother, who we remember running around with a bottle in his hand. It sounds weird, but we do. You know, and it's just where life takes you and where they can take you. You know, these wonderful people, men and women, who are coaching at all of these levels, but they're doing it out of passion for the game. They're educators. We recognize that. But more importantly, you know, when they get these jobs, like all of us, they want to keep their job. And you keep your job by having a winning program. You keep your job by diversifying your program in many ways. And one of the things that we found was that it wasn't just, yes, he was successful at helping his former players become coaches, if that's what they wanted to do. But he also had a hand in many other aspects of the sports and business arena. Well, if it's you know, Tyler, if it's broadcasting you want to go into, great, let me know. We have, you know, many connections and contacts there, and we'll set you up at programs at Duke that put you on that track to there. If it's business, well, I mean, we have one of the best business schools in the country, the business school of Fuqua, and we have many connections there with folks who run multi-billion-dollar companies and Fortune 500 companies, and it just went on, and it was seeing the full. Now, not to say that a John Thompson III, or at the time Coach Lato at UVA, not to say that they didn't have their certainly John Paul Jones is huge in his own right. So not to say they didn't have the same things, they couldn't offer the same things. But the last question we said to him is, when you think about or gave him to think about was, when you think about your 4 years and where you want to go, and you start somewhere, you start there and you end there, where do you see or believe that you will have consistency in your staff, more importantly, your head coach at the end of the watch? And so that sort of sealed the box, you know, covered the box and prettied it up for him and making a decision. It wasn't just a decision that we made. Now, I'll be honest with you, and it was one of the things that best advice ever given to me by Janet Hill, Grant Hill's mom, when she said, if Duke is what you like, then don't mention anything Duke. Let him figure it out. Because Georgetown is what he likes. She said, when Grant was going through this process, and again, it was a much different process for Grant than it was for Tyler, AAU was very different. AAU didn't have the power then that it does now. So yes, College coaches still went to high school coaches in that relationship. But she said, I wanted him to go to Georgetown. He was an only child. I wanted him to be close to home. And she said, and Calvin, of course, wanted him to go to Yale. And she said, and he chose Duke. He didn't choose where I wanted him to go, and he didn't choose where his daddy wanted him to go. He chose what he knew would probably drive us crazy. He chose Duke, she said, but in the end, he was smarter than both of us. He chose well.
That's true. I think many times, parents, we forget that part as well, that in the end, the child has to be satisfied where he or she plans to go, because if they're not satisfied and they go based upon our recommendation, then if something ever goes wrong, they look back at us and say, I told you I didn't want to go there.
Exactly. And I hear that often.
There's nothing we can say at that point. Well, let me give out the phone number here in case anybody wants to call in, join in on the conversation. We still have a few more minutes left on the show here. Give us a call at 917-889-8095. Press option 1. If you try to log in or give us a call through the link you've received on Facebook, I would suggest that you go ahead and just call in using the number that I just gave you, 917-889-0095, and hit option 1. That'll get you straight into the switchboard, and we can plug you in with our special guest today, Ms. Rhea Thornton, mother of Tyler Thornton, formerly standout at the University, well, Duke University, I should. University of Duke, I should say it's Duke University to be correct. And she had just off of us. If you're familiar with it, quite a few of them, she rattled off all the young men. I remember quite a few of them. So today Mike was playing the Who's Who. Always great to see a young man like her son up and all that, and don't allow that to discourage him and come out to still be a winner at the end. You know, Now, you gave us a whole lot of information on what it took to get Tyler to where he wanted to be, and now he's off doing his thing and heading for another great career as a college coach. Give us a little insight from a parent's perspective. You know, you said that you were from one area and it wasn't well that much into sports, and your husband was from another area and he wasn't, you know, familiar with the landscape at the time. So how are you two able to navigate, you know, through that? Was there a lot of assistance from your high school coach? Was there a lot of assistance from your college coach? Or was it just folks that you met along the way to help y'all navigate through the recruiting process?
For the college recruiting process, it was it was a little bit. So again, a basketball small community, but you have a lot of people in it. And you know, through the years, it was just learning who we really could rely on for good, honest, solid information. Todd Bozeman is a great family friend. He is Uncle Todd to Tyler. Tyler had competed against Todd's son since they were nine. So, you know, we used to do family Thanksgivings together when the boys were in high school. He's one that, you know, he's been there and done that. He coached All-Americans. He coached great players who then went on from his program at Cal to the NBA. And he knew a lot of people. He's one that we definitely asked his opinion, his input about. And he said, you know, just very honest, you know, if you're choosing this, and he certainly knew what schools had offered and what schools were really after Tyler. Johnny Dawkins and Todd were very good friends, and so he was not immune or not already exposed to that information. And, you know, he said, if you're choosing a Georgetown, you're choosing a Georgetown because of, you know, the Thompson history and knowing what the and he just sort of went on. And if you're choosing a you know, and then if you're choosing a Duke, you know, understand what you're getting. There's only going to be so many players that are going to be a pop of champagne where everyone else is playing a role. So you're going for the larger goal if you're going in that direction. Certainly, you know, his advice was, you know, you guys are always going to choose the best opportunity for Tyler. But, you know, if he really is looking to play basketball beyond college, then maybe you're not considering the Duke. Maybe you're considering a Georgetown or UVA or any other program where he will go and he will not be potentially a role player. But if indeed he's looking to follow that path, then I can understand why you would choose a Duke. And so that went on for his AAU coach at that time. The same thing. He had a lot of relationships. He knew a lot of coaches, a lot of, you know, players that we might not even have thought about who had been through the program that we could talk to. And, you know, and having, you know, parents like yourself, you know, the blessings of being exposed to and having access to you through NBA Top 100, but it really sort of opened our eyes and helped us with navigating the recruiting process. And, you know, at the time it was new and it may sound really weird now, but I used it a lot. The internet then really wasn't what it is now. So anytime I got a call from his high school coach or his AAU coach about a program like the University of Georgia saying they saw him play in the championship game at Adidas 64, which he got, they had a back-to-back champion repeat, and Tyler got MVP both times, and saying that they had an interest in him. I'm going, University of Georgia? Like, why in the heck would they want to come all the way here to find a kid when they're in Georgia? And you had players like Trey Golden, and the list went on. And only to Google and look at the school and learn that the coaching staff at the time both were Washington, D.C. natives and had played ball at Howard University, and then it all became an aha moment of how, you know, coaches go back to their communities to find guys that can fit into their program, thus diversifying their program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, that was a very strong point that you just brought up about how coaches go back to their communities and try to find kids because, you know, I've seen that firsthand experience in a couple of different schools where I had some parents call me and ask me about this school or ask me why did I get a call from this coach or whomever, you know, different places throughout the country. And it boiled down to exactly that. Because I'm seeing it from the standpoint of that coach believes he knows what type of player he's really getting. And he knows the background. You know, he knows the environment that the child came from. Or he's familiar with the environment that that child came from.
Correct.
And on that note, he feels comfortable with bringing in that type of player. That's like a guy coming out of Chicago and he's down in Alabama all of a sudden, but all 75% of his team is from the Chicago or the Illinois area because he's familiar with that type of style of play and that atmosphere. So he's going to use that to his advantage. Of course.
There's something about it that resonates with everyone. And yet you've got, when you're talking, you know, big-time, high-major D1 programs, you know, there's nothing like if you're in Wisconsin. Yeah, they want kids from Wisconsin, and you're going to get that. And so you've got to go and prove that you can recruit and retain the level of athletes from that region. Steve Wojciechowski is from Baltimore. And he's tough as nails, and he's through and through. So he's always still going to look for a guy or two from the Baltimore, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's just the way it happens.
Yeah. And,
well,
and it, truth be told, Michael, I'll sort of end with this. As parents, there's no question that we can't ask a coach. Understand that this is a business deal. When they sign that letter of intent, you're signing a contract to go into business. There's no question you can't ask a coach or a program. It's not going to hurt or help your kid. As a matter of fact, I think that, you know, they're more intrigued by parents who are asking the right questions about not just how are you going to treat my child, where is he going to fall in your program, but questions such as, you know, is this a family atmosphere? Is it not a family atmosphere? Do you find yourself being very hands-on, or do you rely on your assistant coaches to take care of that and you only show up on, you know, pre-game day and game day? Those are great questions to ask depending on what your family foundation and values are.
Exactly. You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was in Fredericksburg a couple of weeks ago and I spoke to a group of parents from a booster club. And that was one of the same topics that we drifted off into towards the end of my presentation, just about asking those questions and not being afraid to ask those tough questions. You know, do you travel with a academic staff person? Do you have tutoring while you're on the road? Do you have study hall while you're on the road? You know, what's your budget like? Is your budget one of those types that you can take a charter, or are you taking a bus to every game? You know, that's a question that really concerns me, because if you're taking a bus, when are they really and truly going to have time to sit and do some real serious studying? If you're floating all over the country and you're going away from the university or campus for at least a week or so.
Yep.
You know, and one of the other questions that really hit home, and I think it really caught their attention, okay, what happens if my child gets hurt? Does that automatically take us back to the drawing board, or where are we? You know, and I think back to that situation where that young man, Kevin Ware, a couple of years ago, had that very serious accident. What would have happened had that not been on national television?
Exactly. And it was on national television, and it happened to be against our team. And so even though he was on the opposing team, us as parents, and he was actually trying to block a shot that my son was making, he is a player, and I applaud him for it. When the game ended, and it ended however it ended, they won, and he stated, you know, those who are fans of your schools, it's great to be fans of your schools, but at the end of the day, there's nothing bigger than life, and this is just a game, and my prayer and my heart goes out to Kevin, and I wish him the best recovery ever. And, yeah, what happens? And he ended up transferring from there, and, you know, part of that makes you wonder, you know, is it because, you know, he was no longer the player that he once was prior to the injury, and, you know, therefore, you know, where does he fit into the program then, and just how he felt in general after all of that wears off, that the program and the coach and all goes back to being competitive, and you either can keep up or you can't. So what happened?
Exactly. You know, and again, as I said, had that not been on national television, one, we probably wouldn't have known about it, and two, where would he have been stuck with that medical bill?
Yeah,
you know, that always catches my attention. You know,
yeah.
I guess they felt obligated due to the fact that it was on television, and you know, they had to give us a daily report, or somebody was going to give us a report on what
Absolutely.
Was going on with the young man.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we're preparing to wind down here. We've got a few more minutes. Give us some tidbits for some parents to think about and, you know, some of the things that's going on, or if there's any parents group up around your area that may be doing some things, and information that you can just share with some parents.
Tidbits. Tidbits is one of the things that we constantly sort of preached, and to this day, I still say, you know, again, I have the one child, but I have a community of children that play basketball, so it's the next generation. I have a nephew who's currently playing with Tyler's former AAU coach. DC Assault no longer exists, but they have other organizations, and he's doing well, and they're now juniors, his group juniors in high school, so sort of going through that process again with them and seeing the new rules and regulations, things that are changing. My husband and I have become sort of the parent liaisons for the next generation in answering questions or what to look for. And one of the things that we constantly go back to, because, again, my son graduated high school in 2010, and the internet and social media was nothing then compared to what it is now. Parents, we find that parents and athletes really get hung up on what's being talked about in social media. I remember I used to have to go to scout.com and register there for an account to even read anything, forget about my son, to read anything about anyone. And
exactly.
Now you have, you have those scouts now with those outlets, but they have Twitter accounts, you know, they have Facebook accounts and so forth. And so the instant gratification, and you instantly see if they've seen your game, what they think of you and who's doing well. It doesn't mean that they're always right, because they have to report the news and they have a snapshot to do it in. But at the end of the day, we find that the parents and players are searching for that stuff so that they can retweet and build their own, what they believe is their own resume on social media. And that could be a false sense in general for everyone. Yes, it's great when you have those scouting agencies who recognize and see you and put you out there. But there's always work to do. The work that you're doing, advice, the work that you're doing, the work that your child is doing to stay on the cutting edge and to stay to get at a certain level, it doesn't stop because they've seen their name on the internet or being tweeted by someone, whether it be a scout or NBA player. It does not, because they should always be working for the player they know nothing about, because there are thousands of players out there that are in areas where they are not privileged to have strong AAU programs. They don't have a family or the money to get back and forth to games. They only have public school. They don't have the WCAC and the DeMathas and the Gonzagas of the world or the Simeons of the world. And so those are the players that you don't know about that your sons should be working their hardest to compete against. Because at some point, they will be found, and they will bump up against each other. I'll leave you with a little something. Michael, when I met you, was going into Tyler's senior year of high school in the beginning, the early summer, June. I think it was June, July, when we had NBA players.
Yes, June. Yeah,
June. And it was the beginning of his high school year. Well, going into his high school year, just at the end of the junior year, so going into that camp, there was a kid that no one had talked about going into their senior year, let alone really their junior year. He did come up their junior year, but he wasn't talked about prior to that. And that kid was Kyrie Irving. No one knew who he was.
Yep.
No one knew who he was.
Exactly.
And he became a pop of champagne. But one of the things his dad did, we were blessed enough that our kids play together. First year of college, we spent a lot of time together. To this day, our families are extremely close. And one of the things he said was, Kyrie went to a small private school in New Jersey. And one of the things that I constantly did with him was keep working. He said he was very small. He was like 5'6", 5'7", very small in body. And I said, keep working. We keep working. We keep tooling this craft because the time will come. And the time came where he made enough of a noise that a certain high school wanted him. And once he got to that high school and he played with certain players, he did extremely well. And the story was written from there.
Yep. Okay. Well, folks, we've heard it firsthand. We've heard it from a great parent and a true advocate of being there for your child and making sure that your child understands how he or she can get the best out of every situation and understanding how we as parents must be visible and valuable in that process as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Parents Coach Parents Network. We're going to continue to stay in touch, and hopefully we can get you back some other time because you mentioned a whole lot of stuff, and there's some things that we probably can dissect a little bit more to get some more great information from you. We truly appreciate you joining us this evening and looking forward to talking to you real soon.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Michael.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right, folks, this has been the Parents Coach Parents Network. I am M.H. Scott, and as always, we've had a wonderful, wonderful show. Hopefully you've had time to take some very copious notes, and really, if you ever have any questions, reach out to us on Facebook. You can find us on Parents Coach Parents Network. You can also find us on Twitter at PCP Network, on Instagram, PCP Network, and just Google the word Parents Coach Parents Network, and you'll find us somewhere along the line. We're always here every Sunday evening from 9:30 to 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, and we love to hear from you. Join us at any given time. You want to reach us via email, you can always reach us at pcphr@aol.com. All right, Keith, close us out.